Hey everyone, welcome to Overflow. I'm Jacob, better known as Bear around here, and I have the privilege and honor to be speaking with you all here at Overflow. And to let you all know a little bit about myself, I've been coming here since I was like 13 and 14, and we have some pictures to show y'all. So that's me, and that's the whole crew. Right there on my left is Josh. So, ain't he a cutie? But yeah, if we could go back to the one with just me. That's how I grew up. Just weird face all day. So, yeah. It's been a privilege coming here since I was 14, but I can't really say that I've been coming here for 14 years because I took a bit of a five-year hiatus. But y'all hear more about that as I go through my message because it's part of my message. But I'm happy to be back here on talking about God. And God's just been making just straight money moves through my life ever since I came back. And he's been making huge movements throughout this community. Like, God tends to do that when I'm willing to accept his guidance and admit my mistakes. But that's a God thing. He gives us lessons for a better life. You know what? Speaking about lessons for a better life, that's the sermon series we're on right now. So, wow, it's almost like I wrote that in or something. Last week, Sabrina... Sorry, I heard Cole go like... I love it when he does that. But last week, Sabrina talked about how God gave us a gift of Jesus and how much that means and how we shouldn't just hold it in to ourselves and we should go out and sharing it. And this week, I get to talk to y'all about God's love and how it's unconditional. And more so how we tend to misinterpret it and what that looks like. We'll focus on the story of Luke 15:11-32, the prodigal son story, or the lost son parable. And as we know from last week, thanks to Sabrina, shout out to Sabrina, we know that a parable is a story from Jesus that illustrates a moral or spiritual purpose. And to help illustrate this point across, I'll break it into three perspectives: the lost son's perspective, the older brother's perspective, and finally the father's perspective. But before we can really dig into the parable, we should probably read it. So if you have your Bibles with you or your phones, because there's Bibles on your phones, so you can read along. It'll also be on the screen, but it's better if you read along on your phone. So I'm just going to jump right into it. And he said, Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, a younger, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger brother gathered up all that he took, all that he had, and took a journey into a far country. There he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he spent everything, a severe famine came across that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods from that the pigs ate, and no one would give him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have more than enough bread, but I'm here to perish and here in hunger? I will arise to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as that one of your servants. And he arose and came to his father. But he was a long ways off, and his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him on the forehead. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer to be worthy to call your son. But the father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's eat and celebrate. "For my lost son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found." And they began to celebrate. Now the older son in the field, as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come back. Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill your fattened calf for him?" And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It is fitting to celebrate and to be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and now he is found." So I see that it's fitting that we aim our focus more so on the lost son's perspective, because I feel he's kind of the center of the story, and I feel it's a perspective that most of us can relate to, like, to some degree. I'll put myself out there and say that we've all felt that we were beyond God's grace and love at some point in our lives. I know I definitely felt that way. Like, I've said it before, the last time I actually talked about God's love is that if I had to, I could probably go pro when it comes to sinning. Like, I'm a pretty good sinner, and sinning comes naturally to me. But then again, sinning comes natural to everyone. The feeling of being too far gone is something that comes pretty easy to me too. And I'm sure some of you all can relate. For a good period of time, I let my sin define me. And I only saw myself as a stoner whose worst enemy was myself. I ran away from the church for 5 years, and I hated every single thing about myself. I thought I would be doing the world a favor if I just ended my life. There wasn't anything of worth that I saw in myself, and I didn't believe I should go to God for help. I didn't deserve him. In my mind, I deserved death. There was nothing of anything of worth to me. Granted, most of these thoughts came from my depression and the struggle that I've had with that. But I saw my sin as a way to feed that depression and not to fight it. And I know for a fact that I'm not the only one here who's ever felt that way, that they were too far gone to receive God's love. There are many people in this world, actually, that are just wandering the world because they don't, without God, because they don't feel that they're good enough for God. Either they've told themselves that, or someone else has told them that, and they just believe those lies. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." The brass tacks is, guys, that there's no such thing as being too far gone to receive God's love. It's only a matter of accepting it. The other thing is that we need to accept is that we should also be giving God's love to everyone we come across, and not just the ones that we feel earn it. A lot of us feel that we do a great job with loving people, like, including me. Like, I'm pretty good at loving people, A-okay. But when I read this parable, it's pretty easy for me to see myself as a lost son. I mean, obviously, I just gave you examples of how I felt that way. But it's also really easy for me to see myself as the brother. That is, in situations where I don't love someone because I felt they didn't earn it, or they don't deserve it. They were beyond the love of me and beyond the love of God. And I doubt I'm the only one who's ever done this. We have a habit of putting judgment before love, while God calls us and puts love before judgment. I'm going to repeat that because it's pretty important to just really sink in. We have a habit of putting judgment before love, while God puts and calls us to put love before judgment. I've definitely been on the receiving end of this, and I've done it myself. For example, I was doing the chairs here at Overflow when we had it on Saturday nights. It was just me. And there's this man who didn't look like a businessman, so he kind of looked sketch, and he was just pacing around the sanctuary. The first time I saw him, I felt a call to pray for him, but I didn't want to because he looked sketch. And I actually kept an eye on him as I was doing my chairs, and I put my things in that back room because I didn't trust him. But every time I saw him, God put the call in my heart to go and pray for him, because God knew that he needed someone to love him. Like, I didn't want to, but by the fifth time God put that call in my heart, I realized that I needed to do something about it. Because if I didn't, I'd feel worse about it. And the look in the man's eyes when I walked up to him and asked him if there's anything I can pray for him about instantly changed. He seemed hopeless and sad to relieved. And he, like, I don't know if you can really see love in someone's eyes, but he felt loved. Because some total stranger walked up to him and was willing to pray for him. I can't, like, toot my own horn or pat myself on the back because it took me 5 times to go up and pray for him. And, like, that whole situation, like, looking back on it, convicts me. And then I came across a verse, Luke 6:32, that also convicted me. And that says, "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." How many of us do that? Or how many of us refuse to love someone because it's out of our comfort zone? If you feel convicted, good. Use that conviction to make a change. Like, I know I felt convicted when I did that, and even looking back at it, because it took me 5 times to go up to that man who was hurting, obviously, and pray for him. Like, I'm getting goosebumps because it's like, 5 times? Really? It should have been the first. Like, when we don't go out and love people, or we give them an impression that we don't want to love them, we're telling them that they're not good enough for God, and we don't want them a part of this community. I need to stress this point, guys, because it's a big thing. We need to be ambassadors of God's love. And when we misinterpretate what God's love looks like, we push people away and tell them that God doesn't love them and we don't want them a part of this community, which is a lie. When we have the big brother perspective, we believe that others don't deserve God's love. And we have the little brother perspective, we believe we don't deserve God's love. But, and it's a big but, when we have God's, when we have the Father's perspective, we not only change our lives, but the lives of others. And they're impacted in a good way. If you haven't picked up on this, me included, we're not the best at love. We're pretty good at falling short and missing the mark, though. So, A plus for that. But that's not to say we can't work on it. When we realize that there's an issue, we can address it and move past it. In the lost son parable, we see how we fail at loving ourselves and others. But we also see how God loves us through the Father, which is the last perspective that we're going to focus on. Because we end it on a good note, and bam. So, sorry, I just, like, this next part is like, It's a good one. Like, Jesus crafted this parable so brilliantly. But, I mean, that's also a given because it's Jesus and everything he does is brilliant. Like, it's like saying, "Oh, cake tastes good." No, duh, it's cake. Like, Jesus knew that we could interpret this in a lot of different ways. Not only did he give us hope through the lost son, and conviction through the brother, He also showed us how we fall short when it comes to loving people. But most importantly, he showed us how God loves us and forgives us. Starting with how the dad addresses the lost son that took advantage of his wealth. Like, the son didn't ask for allowance. He basically asked, "Hey, Dad, you know, I really don't want to wait until you die. So can I just get my share of the will now? So, like, when you do die, I'll already have it. I mean, it makes sense in my head, so that's okay." And then the dad said, "Yeah." Dad was like, "Yeah, here you go." And I believe this illustrates how sometimes we think that we know better than God. And we're all like, "Hey, God, Dad, I'm going to do this because I'm pretty sure it's going to work out." And God's like, "Okay, I'll be here when you're done." And when the lost son finds the hardships, as we know, he comes to the dad. And dad doesn't wait on the deck tapping his foot. It's like, "Well, you learned that lesson, didn't you?" No, the dad saw me to Pioneer Park. He's like, "That's my boy." And he sprinted towards him. And this dad was well established, so he had fine clothes and fine shoes, and he just sprinted. That's unheard of in this time. And he ran up to the son and hugged him and kissed him. And he yelled at his servants to bring him fine clothes, shoes, and a ring, and kill the fattened calf. That's crazy. And that's exactly what God does to us when we fall short and we're all like, "Hey, God, I know better." And then we're like, "God, I don't really know better." He's like, "I'm already here for you, bud." He loves us that much. But when we have the big brother perspective, we need to look at how the dad addresses that. The brother was all like, "That son doesn't deserve love. That son, misused you. He took advantage of you." And the dad was like, "Yeah, but he was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found." And the dad wasn't "Who are you to judge him?" He didn't, get mad at the older brother. He was, checked his heart gently but impactfully. In fact, he invited the brother to the party. The brother didn't understand how and why the dad loved him, but the dad did. And that's exactly how God is. We don't understand God's love, and we never will. We just understand that he loves. God is way beyond our comprehension. That's another message, so stay tuned for that. But the brother didn't see how the father's love was justified. And the lost son didn't earn it, but yet he had it. And that's the thing with God. We can't earn or deserve his love. We can only receive it. That's a key point, so I'm going to say it one more time. God's love, we can't earn it or deserve it. We can only receive it. Guys, I know my life, I don't know everyone else's life, tend to fall short when it comes to loving ourselves and others. We can either believe that we are too far gone to receive God's love, or others are. But there's good news, and that's God's unconditional love. There's no such thing as being too far gone. No one is better than the other, and the only person that's really better than us is Jesus. And he's God, so that's that. We can't compare ourselves to him. We can only strive to be like him. All sin is the same in God's eyes. There's no sin greater than the other. And we should never be in the mindset that others are beyond God's love, because that's not true. Like I said, there's no such thing as being too far gone. And speaking from experience, when people are lost, they're normally lost because they're hurting. And if we come at them with, "Yeah, you're definitely lost, you don't deserve God's love," we're only adding to that hurt, and we're not reducing it. God's in the salvation business, not the damnation business. That's the other guy's work field. And we don't really want to be a part of that. He works out of love, and so should we. God works out of love, not the other guy. I want to make that clear. Love can be easily received, but harder to give. But we're called to do it. We love because he loved us first. So, as Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. Will you pray with me? Dad, thank you for just loving us. We don't deserve it, and we couldn't earn it. Still, you gave your life away. Dad, I'm just so blessed to have you wanting to be a part of all of our lives. And wine, you want to love us so much, and you do. It's only a matter of us accepting it. The only thing that gets in the way between your love and our relationship is us. So please break any hearts that need to be broken in the good way, like soft and hardened hearts, and allow them to accept your love. Allow them to stop hating themselves. Allow them to start loving themselves the way you love them. Dad, I'm just beyond blessed to be called your son. And we're all beyond blessed to be called your children. There's no greater gift. And this is all thanks to Jesus. Big bro, as I like to call him. We don't deserve it, but yet we have it. It's just like lost son. We are ready to disown ourselves, but yet you run and embrace us. You kiss us and you give us your clothes. And you call for a celebration every time we're lost and found. And let us not be like the bigger brother. Let us not have judgment over love. Let us have love over judgment. Dad, just make the moves that you need to make in our hearts. And just let your will be done in this community. I love you, and I thank you so much for everything that you have done and you will do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.